Hello and welcome to Abundant Health, How to Move from Ho-Hum Health to Vibrant Health. This is Lynn Patterson at Prakasha Yoga Studio in Goshen, Massachusetts. And we will be, I'll be talking tonight about aging and what we can do to age well and how we can shift our health from being just ordinary, okay, not too bad, not too great, to a more vibrant health. So I welcome everyone who's on the call. I think there'll be some other people chiming in. So I'll just ask if you're on the phone now to just mute yourself and not to be on the speakerphone. And we'll go right in. There'll be an opportunity at the end of my talk for question and answers, and this whole teleseminar is being recorded so that others can listen to it later. So welcome, and again, thanks for calling in. I really appreciate your time and especially your interest in creating health and wellness for yourself and on the planet. Aging well is a very important topic for me. I'm 5 years postmenopausal, as I'm sure some of you are, and I've been watching my parents age for the last 20 years, watching my dad's joints slowly wear out over time, requiring a knee replacement therapy, but seeing his other ankle wear out to a point where slowly his walking degenerated till he couldn't walk at all. And I've been watching my mom slowly bend over more from osteoporosis in her spine. And, you know, as I look ahead, I'm always wondering what's in store for me health-wise in the future. And every day I'm always thinking about what can I do today to ensure that I'm going to age as well as I can. Obviously, you know, I've been practicing yoga and I've been cooking and eating whole foods for over 30 years. And I'm sure that has given me a little bit of an advantage. But every year I keep learning and studying and refining my approach because I'm really committed to getting younger as I age. And really by that I mean, you know, just offsetting all those little complaints that we have, that many people have as they age, all those little annoying, bothersome issues. They aren't really a full-blown disease, but that keep us from really enjoying our life each and every day to the greatest maximum we can. So I'd like to start by saying that aging, like health, depends primarily on three factors. First one being genetics, which is, you know, all that we've inherited from our parents, grandparents, and ancestors, such as our DNA, but also things like our own behavioral patterns and lifestyle patterns and food choices, all those things that have been encoded on us from the time of conception until we were living on our own as adults. And the second thing, of course, is our everyday lifestyle, all the things that we're thinking and feeling and doing each and every day that makes us unique to being individuals. And the third component is grace, that power that is just always on our side, looking out for us, that beneficent force. I think of, you know, if you're someone who's never had a serious accident, then you could say you have a lot of grace in your life, because any serious accident certainly could ruin one's health and mobility if one were crippled. So there is sort of a component of grace, which is a little bit beyond our control also. And of these three, genetics, lifestyle, and grace, it is our lifestyle that we really have the most control over each and every day. And it's in our lifestyle where we can make the most changes and the most immediate changes. And we can make these changes through our choices, day-to-day choices, moment-to-moment choices. And, of course, there's an infinite number of choices we can make at any time. So at some point, it's imperative to get savvy on, are the choices that you're making day-to-day actually supporting your health and well-being and longevity, or are they undermining it little by little by little? So as I was thinking about this title for this teleseminar tonight, this abundant health, moving from ho-hum health to vibrant health, really because the majority of people that I know, my friends and clients, you know, do have these little minor complaints, these minor aches and pains, a little shoulder pain, a little back pain, a little bit of arthritis starting in the joints, oh, maybe not sleeping so well, or a little indigestion here and there. All those things that, for the most part, people just say, ah, I'm just getting old, and they just let that go, as if to get old necessarily implied that we're going to have these minor aches and pains or potentially even have some more serious illness come our way. And I know that most of the people that I've talked with, you know, do wish they could feel a little better, maybe have a little less stress, maybe get a little more sleep, maybe have more energy during the day, certainly to have fewer colds or flus, definitely to overcome allergies. Some people are concerned about, you know, having mild depression. Some people really are trying to get a handle on their moods. Some people I've talked to are looking for stronger immunity, better digestion, a better diet. Even some are looking for simply a better way of life. And, you know, this, to me, all of this falls under this category of ho-hum. It's kind of that attitude where we're a little reticent. We're just going, you know, this is just the way it is, and I don't have a lot of control over this, just how I'm aging. Now, if we contrast that to vibrant health for a moment, we might feel that what feels kind of static and heavy in that ho-hum attitude of health is very different when we look at vibrant health. That vibrant health infers some kind of movement or dynamicism, an oscillation of energy, even a polarity of energy, such as a give and receive, or some kind of back and forth that's pulsing an aliveness. So with vibrant health, we're really feeling into this field of energy that's alive, that's pulsing, that's moving, that's dynamic, that's creating a radiance, a light of its own, emanating light. And when we feel into the field of ho-hum health, just like that light's gotten dull, heavy, it's somehow cloaked. Not that that light, that health isn't there, but it's somehow diminished. And especially, you know, I picked this particular word, ho-hum, because I think it's aptly suited to our winter season. Because here in the winter season, you know, we lack sunlight. There's more cold. Often, you know, there's people experience more depression, as in the seasonal affective disorder, SAD, or what we sometimes call simply the winter blues. And if you think for a moment about a plant, if a plant, you know, this time of year in the late fall, midwinter, if it's not getting adequate sunlight, it starts to droop, and the green of the leaves start to pale and turn kind of yellowish. And it's, I know, you know, in ourselves, you know, we feel that lack of light, too, in our body. It can affect our energy level, certainly can affect our moods. And that's, you know, for many, that's a reason why they go south for the winter, try to escape for a couple weeks and recharge from the sun. So for many people, the winter is the hardest season, especially if they're living in a four-season climate. But for some people, it's actually their best time of year, that they thrive in a colder climate, the colder season. And if we think just a little bit about the winter season itself, the characteristics of winter season, you know, winter itself is this time where animals and nature are hibernating. This great big pause in the four seasons, time when the energy is moving more slowly, where the energy is held more internally, like the energy of a tree is now all the way down in the roots, and energy of other plants has died back into the roots. So there's this kind of time of more static energy, like all that energy that moves and vibrates in the spring and summer is now in the repository of the earth. And in, especially in New England, you know, we feel in the winter season this lack of the fire of the sun and that less warmth, that less amount of light, you know, is affecting us on every single level. And if we look at the winter season in terms of the five elements, and the five elements being earth, water, fire, air, and ether, or space, and these elements exist not only throughout nature everywhere you look, but they also exist within our physical bodies. And so if we look in the winter season, we see this huge dominant elements of earth and water. And both earth and water have this natural capacity to extinguish fire. You know, if you think of you're building a bonfire or the fire in your wood stove, you know, you want to feed that fire evenly. You want to feed that fire well so it gives off the level of heat and warmth that you're seeking. And in the winter, with the more energy resting down in the earth and the roots and the quiet, dark, cold energy of the earth and the sort of heavy settling energy of water into the earth and water freezing, being less mobile, we start to see how just the season of winter itself is going to create a deficiency of fire in our body. And then also in the winter season, you know, we want to be noticing how our food choices change, maybe the level of our activity changes, maybe we find we need to rest more, or maybe we're not breathing as deeply, maybe our spirit feels like it just needs a break. So all of these qualities of the season of winter itself are going to put a damper on our health just by the very elemental nature of them. And depending on how those elements are organized in your body, if you have an excess or deficiency of any of those five elements, that's going to start to determine whether winter is a season that you love or a season that you hate, or a season that you're kind of ambivalent about. And this difference in between the people who really love winter and the people who really hate winter is this element fire. And in the yoga tradition, in the Ayurvedic tradition, we call that fire Agni. People who tend to have ample fire element in their own body, people who are warm-bodied, hot-blooded, warm-bodied, very active, strong-willed, strong-minded, a kind of balanced type A persona. Those people tend to do well in the winter because they have plenty of fire internally. Then there are people with too little fire who struggle through the cold season, the cold climates, because their bodies are smaller and cooler running, and they maybe have more mental energy and less physical energy, or maybe there's just more emotional energy, and there's simply just less fire to warm the body and all its processes. I'm going to stop for a moment and just think about, you know, how is your relationship to winter? How do you feel about winter coming when the leaves start to fall off the trees, when the light gets dimmer and the days grow shorter? Is it a season that you're looking forward to, or is it one that you're dreading? I know for myself, you know, I mean, there's things I love and dislike about winter. It's a little mixed bag for me. And so I have to make sure I have a good approach to keep myself warm and happy in the winter. But certainly if you really dislike winter, if you resist winter, if you're apathetic towards winter, then it's very likely you could say the fire element in your body-mind system is depleted or lacking. And I'd like to talk a little bit more about what I mean by the fire element, Agni. Because, you know, in nature we see fire as, of course, like a forest fire, or if you make a campfire for roasting marshmallows. We also see fire as lightning strikes on the earth. And, of course, the solar flares that we experienced a lot in the last couple of years from the sun. So we know this fire element in nature is pretty easy to see. But when we start to think about this fire element in our own physiology and our own human experience, we could say simply that every process in our body, mind, spirit, human experience could be called a fire, a type of fire. The very moment of conception, when sperm fertilizes egg, in that very moment of conception, there's a spark of life. That's the very first fire, when spirit engages itself into the fertilized egg. So from the very moment we're born, there's a fire that starts, that creates our life, that spark. And then as the body develops and we're born, the physical body has so many agnis, so many types of fire. We have the fire of digestion, being able not only to digest the food that you've eaten, but also to digest all the events and occurrences in your day, digesting your thoughts and your feelings and what's coming at you and what's going on in the world around you. And in the physical body, all the organic functions, all the 10 systems of the body, everything from the enzymes that help you digest your food to the blood that's pumping through your heart and capillaries and veins, to the muscles that move, to the breath that's respiring, all the way down to each single cell that's vibrating and the mitochondria in the cell that's its like own mini battery. All of those little processes, each one is a fire, an agni. And then in our mind, every thought we think, every way we critique and analyze, all of these thought processes are fires. And in our emotions, every feeling that we experience, all the way from the most peaceful feeling to the most aroused, erotic feeling, and everything in between, the good, the bad, the happy, the sad, the ugly, the funny, all of those emotions all begin from this spark, from this fire. Even in the level of our intuition or wisdom, we have those aha moments and those moments where you remember where you left your keys or remember something that you forgot to write on your grocery list. There's that spark of recognition, that spark of realization. So again, we see how important fire is in our wisdom or our intuition. And then, of course, the biggest body that we are, the bliss body, the radiant spirit body, that by its very nature is warm, it's radiant, fulgent. That, by its very nature, conjures up an image of type of fire that you want to get close to and warm your hands and heart from. So we start to see that, you know, fire is a pretty important element for the human being. And really the quality of that fire is what's most important. So if we come back again to this idea of the ho-hum factor, the ho-hum health, the state of health that's, you know, not really bad enough to go see somebody, you know, but that's nagging at you day to day, that's that uncomfortableness in your own body. That attitude itself, that ho-hum health, is a lack of fire in the mind. In the mind, in the body, in the emotions, in the wisdom body, in the bliss body. And so that lack of fire, that static energy, is the opposite of that vibrant, pulsing aliveness. And when we're lacking fire in the physical body, we might feel cold or lethargic, cold in the hands and feet, the extremities. Maybe we get cold and flu more easily. Maybe we feel run down, fatigued. Maybe we're just burned out. Like we had too much fire and we burned out. Or maybe we have too little fire and we're just tired all the time. In the mental body, we might find that lack of fire is boredom. Maybe a lack of enthusiasm. A lack of clarity in the mind, maybe like fuzzy brain or unfocused, a dullness in our thinking. Maybe on the level of an emotional fire, there's kind of sense of hopelessness or why bother? Maybe even a deeper sense of sadness or even grief or depression many people feel in the winter, a mild depression. So we can feel the heaviness of the emotions, that bogged downness from the winter that's full of this water and earth element. You know, because when you mix water and earth, you get mud, you get something that's heavy. It's something that is static and immobile. And then perhaps we might feel a lack of fire in the pranic body, the breath body. Maybe the breath isn't moving deeply or fully or actively. Or maybe when we step out into deep cold, like we had last week, you know, 0 degree minus temperatures, that the cold actually takes our breath away. If we're feeling a sense of like, I don't know, or I'm just lost, or I don't know where I'm headed or what I'm doing, that in a way is a lack of our intuitive fire or wisdom fire, that we've gotten muddied on that level. And then if we're feeling it, you know, more to the level of spirit, it might just be a big disconnect to source or spirit. Lack of fire in the bliss body where we simply don't care. We're just like, I don't care. Like, I feel heavy and ho-hum and I just don't care anymore. And if we took all of that to an extreme, lack of fire in all of these parts of ourselves, the worst-case scenario would be a suicidal tendency where we just really care so little that we don't even want to be here anymore. We're not even valuing our very own sacred, precious life. So as I'm describing all these different ways that we might have lack of fire, we might also, you know, be thinking like, yeah, like I experienced that, or yeah, that feels familiar to me, or yep, been there. Or maybe that's my experience right now, right in this moment. But just take a moment and feel into where you're at, what's going on for you. Maybe have a sense of where you're lacking fire in your life. And then we start to have this lack of fire. This is like a very big problem, a lack of any kind of fire starts to set us on a path of disease and discomfort and ill health. And if we have a lack of knowledge, well, that just compounds, you know, the problem. It makes it worse. It makes a bigger problem. Because if we're lacking fire and then we don't know how to regain that fire, we don't know how to feed that fire or stoke that fire, then those little issues can get a lot worse over time. And something that starts out like a kind of annoying, bothersome discomfort that starts to become a little more chronic and aches and pains that you just say, it's just all about aging. What can I do? I can't do anything. I'm just getting old. I'm getting older. Just going to happen. that those little issues, if they keep getting worse over time, could certainly result in a major problem or some kind of real disease. So I always like to hold the optimist perspective, and I'm really of the opinion and belief that, you know, the more we learn about our own body, our physiology, the way our human body and beingness is designed, about how we're meant to live and how our body and organs and cells are meant to function. And when we can take action from that knowledge, not just any kind of action, but right action, then we can really learn to self-correct day to day, season to season, year to year. And in that self-correcting, you know, we come more into balance. So some of those little chronic or nagging problems start to lessen their hold on us, and that we step into a possibility of being able to shift whatever's going on. So two things, knowledge and action, going hand in hand. And knowledge and action are always informed by our own personal history, our own personal experience. And when I talk about action, you know, in yoga we use the term right action, because there's an infinite number of actions you could take in any moment to do or not do anything. But there's only a few actions that are going to lead you in the direction you want to go in. And so right action depends on knowing, you know, the root cause of how you're out of balance and why you're out of balance and when you get out of balance, and knowing then, you know, what to shift, how to change, when to change, you know, where to make a shift, why to take an action or a new action. So this idea of right action can bring out all the aspects of our humanness back into balance, back into coherence, and back into integrity. So if you're having a ho-hum winter, you know, it's fair to say you're probably a little out of balance, maybe a lot out of balance. Maybe you notice this is a seasonal thing every year, feel ho-hum in the winter. Maybe you've had that feeling for a short time. Maybe this is the first winter you're feeling a little out of balance in the season. Or maybe you've had that ho-hum feeling all year long for a long time, that you're just kind of losing your enthusiasm for life. So when we talk about vibrant health, it's really this idea of coming back into balance every moment, moment by moment, day by day, week by week, month by month, season by season, and year to year. And this coming back into balance is a pulsation, it's an oscillation, just like the vibrancy itself. And over time, you know, we learn to maintain that balance a little better, with a little more savvy, with a little more familiarity. We just get a little more skillful at maintaining that balance, so that the next time we go out of balance, it's easier to recover. And then it becomes more like surfing, where you're just surfing whatever wave you're on in that moment, whether it's a wave of emotion or something physical that's going on in your body or something mentally that maybe you're stuck on. And so this ability to surf moment to moment, season to season, really requires this combined path of knowledge and experience and right action. And that as we learn to get better over time, you know, at surfing our day-to-day habits, then we get way better at moderating our own experience. Then we start to step into the realm of, you know, self-healing, where we're being able to make shifts on our own because we've built up a body of evidence, a body of experience, and we know what to do. Granted, that can take some time to get savvy at. And that's one of the reasons why I run programs like the I Leap Into Life, Empowered and Present Daily Wellness Program. And then I'm working with people with health coaching sessions, because it does take time sometimes to figure out, like, how do I feed the fire within? Which fire do I need to feed? Do I need to feed my spiritual fire, my physical fire? Do I need to feed my intuitive fire, my pranic fire, my mental fire? And there's so many wonderful techniques and methods for feeding the fire, for stoking the fire. Things that might be like prayer and meditation or dancing or doing whatever you love to do, working with your diet and exercise, learning about what foods support your particular body type and balance the different elements within you. Oh, using herbal medicines, getting massages, oh, finding your way with essential oils and breathing techniques and daily self-care routines, learning how to cultivate this inner wisdom, this inner intuition, so that you really start to know how to feed all these fires moment to moment, and so that you start to build up your repertoire of self-care, self-health, self-healing, so that when you're feeling ho-hum, you can go, ah, I can see what air is out of balance, and I've got choices now, great choices, good strategies to choose from on how to bring myself back into balance. So that may be a lot of information. Maybe there's a bunch of new ideas here for you. But I just encourage you, you know, I'm going to put this recording on the website, so it will be available. It'll be out in some mailings and newsletters, so you can listen to it again. Certainly, if you're feeling that you are really lost and want some help, certainly you're welcome to give me a call at 413-268-7151. Or go on to our website, prakashayoga.com, and contact us. And there's lots of information on the website. And if you need help getting your fire rebalanced, let me know, because I'm very happy to help. Life's too short to either have a fire that rages or one that's just like black coals cooling out, burning out. So let's see if anyone has any questions. If you muted yourself, you can unmute. And if anybody has a question, I'd be happy to take it at this point. Anybody on the line have a question? Anybody there?
Yeah.
Hi, do you have a question?
I don't really have a question.
Comment?
Pardon me?
A comment?
Yeah, I don't really have a comment either. I'm just thinking about everything you said and appreciate this evening, because my least favorite time of the day is this time. So it's nice to have this. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And did you get a sense of perhaps is fire low in one of those aspects of yourself?
I think that I think I'm not really clear yet on what's causing most of my distress. So
yeah.
I'm hoping that over time that becomes clear.
Yeah, we really sort of jumped into the middle of a much bigger conversation. And, you know, that conversation, we really start at the very beginning in the I Leap Into Life Empowered and Present program. And that, you know, in that program, we just lay out all the background information, so this information will make a lot more sense.
Okay.
It's great to just to think about, you know, in terms, because we usually just think about, you know, okay, it's just my mind or my body or my emotions, and we don't really understand, you know, what those are on a deeper physiological level, and certainly most people don't walk around thinking about them on the level of the elements, the five elements.
Right.
So as we start to kind of open up this conversation and start to consider, you know, what is it that we're made of as human beings?
Right.
You know,
right.
You say muscles and bone and skin, but, you know, the elements are in those, you know, cells and tissues and organs of our body, and they're in our mind and our spirit. And, you know, because we come from nature, all of those elements are a part of us, an integral part of us.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Can I say one other thing?
Please.
Is it easy? I mean, how? I would say that, you know, like, my confusion part of it is that I have, you know, good fire parts of the day, and then, you know, it's not just one way or the other on a daily basis. And I'm sure that happens to a lot.
Yeah, well, if you compare yourself to a wood stove, do you have a wood stove at your house?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, so if you compare your body, your human system as a wood stove, and you know, you have to start your fire in the morning if it burned out overnight, and you have to be careful how much wood you put in and whether the wood is damp or seasoned and dry. You know, all those factors make you know, are important to making a good fire. And you certainly
right.
don't keep putting logs in, you know, all day long, 24 hours a day.
Right.
Or do you not put any logs in, especially this time of year? So it's, you know, like you would be making a fire in your wood stove, there's a certain flow to that. You know, sometimes you have
right.
to add more wood, and sometimes you need to add a big log, and sometimes you need to add little sticks. So,
right.
you know, you're trying to get the fire to burn at its optimal. And that's really, you know, what we'll be learning in iLeap, and what, you know, what I teach my clients as I coach them is how do we start to understand how to do this for ourselves, and how to know when we're going out of balance, and how to bring ourselves back into balance before we get way out of balance. So that, you know,
right.
we're just kind of always shifting away from that kind of like, ho-hum, you know, I can't do anything about my health. This is just the way it is. This is just the way I am. To actually nudging that a little bit and going, you know, no, you know, if I do this, I feel a lot better. And if I do that, I feel a lot worse.
Right, right.
You know, very much like not putting another log on when you need to and having the fire burn out completely, or putting too much, you know, wood in, and then you're, you know, your house is like, you know, 300 degrees and you're sweating.
Right. Yes, that has happened.
yeah. So likewise, you know, it's similarly in the body, and we'll definitely pick up, you know, that conversation a lot more in the iLeap program.
Okay.
For anybody else
Thanks.
Listening, you know, you're welcome to contact me at prakashayoga@gmail.com. I've been offering complimentary Evolve Your Edge of Health consultations, and it's really an opportunity to talk for, you know, 50, 60 minutes about your health issues and concerns and goals and vision, and just really get clear on, like, where you're at, like, how are your fires burning these days, and if they're not burning optimally, you know, what steps you could take to get a better burn. To create vibrant, radiant health for yourself way down the road and into the future. So thanks for being on the call. I see there's a couple other people on the call, but they're not poking their hands up with any questions or comments, so I'm sure they're just digesting all this. So I wish everybody a wonderful evening. I will be offering some other seminars from time to time, so do stay posted. And we will be in touch.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye. Thank you.